Well, we are in a new year. It's the fifth day of 2025, and before us is a new year filled with opportunities and probably some challenges, new hopes and dreams, and yet another year to grow in our faith and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited for the new year, and I'm excited for 2025 because spring training is just 6 weeks away, okay? And with spring training comes Philadelphia Phillies baseball. I have a confession to make, and that is I am an avid Phillies fan. They have been my team since I was a child. I remember growing up here in Mechanic Grove that we would go out in the yard and play baseball, and my brother would always be Greg Luzinski, and I would always be Mike Schmidt, and the girl next door would always be Larry Boa, and we would play baseball imitating our beloved Phillies. And so I follow them faithfully, even in the off season. And yes, they frustrate me to no end, but when the calendar changes and the countdown to spring training begins, well, they say, what, hope springs eternal. So maybe, maybe, just maybe, this might be the year. As a diehard fan, I can tell you there's not a whole lot I don't know about the Phillies. I follow them, again, all season long. I watch them faithfully spring through fall, much to my wife's chagrin, and I stick with them even when they aren't playing well. I'm a fan, a big fan who loves the Phillies. But here's the thing. As a fan, I never get in the game. I never get in the game. My days of playing ball are over. That ship has sailed. All I can do is root for them. All I can do is hope that they win. There's nothing I can do to improve their performance or their outcome. I'm a fan, a spectator who follows from a distance. As we begin this new year, I'm convinced that Jesus isn't looking for more fans and he isn't looking for more spectators. He's looking for faithful, devoted followers of Jesus Christ. He's looking for people who are in the game, who are invested, who are committed. He doesn't need more fans, he needs more followers. He needs people who are all in, sold out to Jesus. He needs disciples. So as much as I love my Philadelphia Phillies, and I do, I love the Lord Jesus Christ even more. And I'm vowing to be more than a fan in 2025. I want to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And I hope that's your desire as well. This morning we're going to consider a story from early in Jesus' ministry when he calls his first disciples. And we'll see how they moved from being fans of Jesus to being followers, to being disciples of Jesus. Our text is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, for a message entitled, More Than a Fan. Hear now the word of God. Luke chapter 5, beginning with the first verse. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. In our passage today, I think we can see that these first disciples, they are basically changing from being fans of Jesus to becoming followers of Jesus. And the first point we want to consider today is this. To be more than a fan of Jesus, we must listen for the voice of Jesus. We need to listen for the voice of Jesus. In Luke 5, Jesus is along the Sea of Galilee. Peter and his brother Andrew are there washing their nets. And Jesus takes one of the boats and pushes it out into the water a little bit. And he sits down. And he begins teaching the people from the boat who are gathered along the shoreline. Meanwhile, Peter and Andrew are there. They're washing their nets. They're repairing their nets, whatever they need to do after a night of fishing. But they are listening as well. They are listening to what Jesus has to say. And I don't think this is the first time they heard Jesus. They'd probably heard him teach or preach before. But they took notice that Jesus was again speaking, and they had opportunity to listen in. And what they heard made a real impact on them. As a pastor, I preach a lot, and sometimes the message that I share with you falls rather flat. And sometimes it connects with many of you, or some of you. And many times after a service, somebody will say to me, "Wow, it's like you were speaking to me only today. Like that message is what I really needed to hear." And friends, when that happens, don't praise me. Thank God, because that, I think, is the Lord speaking through His servant to you, His people. Well, Simon and Andrew heard the voice of Jesus, and again, probably not the first time they heard Him speak. And I believe they're familiar with Jesus. They're intrigued by Him, maybe even fans of Jesus. I mean, Simon did, in fact, allow Him to use one of their boats, right, to push out from shore. To be more than a fan, though, we must listen for the voice of Jesus. And in our society that is so loud, with so many voices, hearing the voice of the Lord becomes harder and harder. You want to hear the voice of the Lord in 2025? Carve out time each day to be still and be quiet before the Lord. Be in His Word. Be in prayer. Be like Samuel in the Old Testament. Remember Samuel? He was the last judge of Israel. He was being trained by Eli to become a prophet. And one night Samuel was lying down and the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel awoke and thought Eli needed him. So he rushed to his side and said, "Here I am, Lord. You called me." And Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Samuel did that, and again it happened, and Samuel rushed to Eli's side, but again Eli said, "Hey, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." A third time it happened. And when Samuel got to Eli's side, Eli knew God was calling him or trying to tell him something. And he told Samuel, he said, "Next time it happens, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Only then did Samuel hear and listen to the voice of the Lord. Simon and Andrew, they listened for the voice of the Lord. And they knew that Jesus wasn't just speaking to the crowd that day. He was speaking to them. In verse 4, Jesus finishes speaking. He tells Simon to put out in a deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Keep in mind that Simon is a fisherman. He knows all about fishing. And he knows that this is not the time to set out to catch fish. And he scratches his head and he's wondering, what does Jesus know about fishing? But as a fan of Jesus, his response is priceless. We fished unsuccessfully all night, he said. "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Here is the point. Fans of Jesus have low expectations, but followers of Jesus take risks. Fans of Jesus have pretty low expectations, but followers of Jesus, they take risks. The decision to put down the nets doesn't make sense, but he's willing to take a chance for one reason only, because Jesus said so. He's willing to take a risk. This, I believe, is Simon's first step in moving from simply being a fan of Jesus, an enthusiastic admirer of his, to being a follower of Jesus. Kyle Idleman wrote a book 13 years ago entitled Not a Fan, and he had this to say about fans of Jesus. He said, "The most basic definition of a fan in a dictionary is an enthusiastic admirer. It's the guy who goes to the football game with no shirt on and a painted chest. Right? He sits in the stands and he cheers for his team. He's got a signed jersey hanging back on his wall at home and multiple bumper stickers on the back of his car. But he's never in the game. He never breaks a sweat to take a hard hit in the open field. He knows all about the players. He can rattle off their latest stats. But he doesn't know the players. He yells and cheers, but nothing is really required of him. There's no sacrifice he has to make. And the truth is, as excited as he seems, if the team he's cheering for starts to let him down, has a few off season, his passion will wane pretty quickly. And after several losing seasons, you can expect him to jump off the fan bandwagon and begin cheering for some other team. He's an enthusiastic admirer. You see, friends, fans don't take risks, but followers do. And Simon and Andrew took a risk as they head out to the deep in their boats. Verse 6 tells us they followed Jesus' commands, and as a result, they had such a large catch of fish, they needed help carrying it back to shore. They saw the miracle. They had fished all night unsuccessfully, and here in a matter of moments, they have more fish than they know what to do with. They witnessed the miracle right before them. There is a sense that Jesus is really laying it on Simon here. Remember, he's tired from fishing all night. He'd rather go home and rest. But now he has this tremendous catch of fish, and he needs help just to get the boats and the fish to shore. This was not a good catch of fish, not even a great catch of fish. This was a miraculous catch of fish. This was a miraculous catch of fish, and all Simon had to do was take the risk, be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Followers of Jesus hear the voice of Jesus, and they take risks. They're obedient. In 1 Samuel 3, a young Samuel responded to the voice of God, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And the Lord told Samuel that he was about to pour out judgment on Eli and his family. Samuel, hearing that God was going to judge his mentor and his family, had to break his heart. And the next day, Eli called Samuel to him to know what the Lord had told him. And Samuel was obedient and told Eli what was coming for him and his family. And as a result, Eli accepted his fate. And all Israel knew that Samuel was indeed the prophet of God. Followers of Jesus listen for the voice of Jesus. They obey what they're told, and they take chances. They take risks, even when it doesn't make sense. Like Simon scratching his head, "You want us to put the boats out now?" It didn't make sense, but they took the risk. And here is the thing. Simon's response to this miraculous catch of fish was not high-fiving Jesus. He didn't thank him. There's no party. There's no celebration. There's no praise and worship service filled with thanksgiving. Instead, Simon falls on his knees before Jesus and says, "Go away from me. Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." And I think we see a big step in Simon's transition from a fan to being a follower in this next point. See, a follower of Jesus recognizes his own sinfulness. Fans of Jesus don't see their own sinfulness, but followers of Jesus do. Followers of Jesus recognize that they're sinners. And Simon realizes, "I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy. I shouldn't be in the presence of this master, this Lord. I shouldn't be the beneficiary of this great catch." You will note that earlier Simon referred to Jesus as master, but now he refers to him as Lord. The fan had moved from being an enthusiastic admirer to becoming a follower of Jesus. And notice how Jesus responded to Simon's request. He didn't say, "I know you are. I know you're a sinner. Man, if you messed your life up." No, all he says is, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Why would Simon be afraid? I think he's genuinely afraid of the power that Jesus had. And he knew that he was a sinful man who wasn't worthy to be in his presence. Jesus calms him with the words, "Don't be afraid," and then gives Simon his new calling, his new livelihood, his new purpose in life. From now on, he says, "You'll catch men." And verse 11 says that they pulled up their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. They didn't make any excuses. They didn't make any arguments. "Well, first let me go take care of this," or "Let me go do this," or "Let me go say goodbye to my family." Our final point today is this: fans are notorious for making excuses. Fans are notorious for making excuses, but followers are known for unconditional surrender. Whatever you want from me, Lord, I will give. Whatever I can do for you, Lord, I will do. Wherever you need me to go, Lord, I will go. That's what it means to be a follower and a fisher of men. They left everything and followed Jesus. No longer a fan, no longer an enthusiastic admirer. Now they are all in. They're setting aside their livelihood. They're setting aside their families. They're going to be with Jesus 24/7 for the next 3.5 years. Where he went, they went. When he spoke, they listened. What he told them to do, they did. They watched, they listened, and they learned what it means to be a disciple and to be a follower. Kyle Eidelman, in his book, Not a Fan, says this: I think Jesus has a lot of fans these days. Fans who cheer for him when things are going well, but who walk away when it's a difficult season. Fans who sit safely in the stands cheering, but they know nothing of the sacrifice and the pain of the field. Fans of Jesus who know all about him, but they don't know him. But Jesus was never interested in having fans. Being an enthusiastic admirer is not a relationship he is seeking with us. Every week, all the fans of Jesus come to church where they cheer for Jesus, but have no interest. No interest in truly following him. The biggest threat to the church today is fans who call themselves Christians, but aren't actually interested in following Christ. They want to be close enough to Jesus to get all the benefits, but not so close that it requires anything from them. I don't know about you, but that hurts. That hurts. And that was written 14 years ago, and I don't think things have changed a whole lot in the last 14 years. There are still too many fans of Jesus, and not nearly enough followers. So may 2025 be different to us, for us, as we move beyond being a fan to being a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Let me give you a couple takeaways to help you to become more than a fan in 2025. First, listen for the voice of the Lord. Listen for the voice of the Lord. Just like Samuel, our Lord is speaking. But are we listening? Are we listening? Carve out time each day. Say, Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. Listen to what he's calling you to do. Hebrews 3:15 says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Listen for the voice of the Lord. Number two, stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. A few chapters later in Luke chapter 9, Jesus invited several people to follow him. But each one had an excuse why they couldn't. Let's face it, friends, we're pretty good at coming up with excuses. We can do that well. But if God calls you to something, don't make an excuse. Rather, be obedient and embrace the opportunity. A big step in becoming more than a fan is to simply stop making excuses. Number three, daily surrender your life to follow Jesus. You know, we are so quick. We are so quick to say yes to Jesus. Lord, I'll do anything for you on Sunday. And we get to Monday and we forget all about it. Luke 9:23 has been my daily surrender verse for over 40 years now. Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Notice Jesus said we are to do this how often? Daily. Take up our cross and follow him. Each day we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. And lastly, don't give up. Don't give up. It's so easy to give up on stuff today, right? Made a New Year's resolution to go to the gym and to lose weight, and by the end of January, you've given up and your same routine continues. Or maybe it's saving money, or maybe it's I'm going to be in church every Sunday in 2025, and then you get a cold Sunday like today. It's like, well, maybe I'll stay home. We are so quick to give up on our best intentions. But here's the thing. You know, Jesus picked 12 followers. Not one of them gave up. Not one of them quit. Not one of them said, you know what, Jesus, this isn't for me. They were with him to the end. And yes, Judas got a little misguided and all that, but they didn't give up. May that be our goal as well, to be with Jesus to the end. Colossians 2, 6-7 says, so then, just as you receive Christ, as Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I want to close with another quote from Kyle Idleman from his book, Not a Fan. He says this of Jesus. He said, "Jesus didn't come to earth so that you could be better behaved or to tweak your personality or to fine-tune your manners or to smooth out your rough spots. Jesus didn't even come to earth to change you. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus came so that you could die." In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis put it this way. Christ says, "Give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth or crown it or stop it, but I want to have it out." What does Jesus want of us in 2025? He wants us to be more than a fan. He wants us to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. May it be so for each one of us, as together we grow in this new year to become more and more like Jesus. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this challenge this morning, this first challenge in 2025. To be more than a fan, to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Father, might we hear Your voice in this year. Might we be obedient to it. Might we stop making excuses. Might we take risks. And might we be challenged to become more and more like Jesus. Thank You for Your word to us today. And may we indeed be more than a fan, but fully devoted followers of Jesus in 2025. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.